cesarean section does have a number of risks. We think it's incredibly safe because we've had decades of undertaking cesarean section with very good anaesthetic so that the woman doesn't experience any pain. Usually the situation has been when we've had relatively small numbers of cesareans that mother and baby are fit and well at the end of the procedure. That's what we aim for. That's when the rates were around under 15%. These days our rates of cesarean section have risen so high, over 30%, that we're now seeing that there are actually complications to the cesarean section operation that we hadn't possibly encountered when the numbers were so small. But there are now many studies that have established that cesarean section has a number of risks associated with it, not only to the mother, but importantly to her baby, that will affect short-term and long-term health for both of them. So cesarean section is not without risk. Therefore, it behoves us, first of all, to try to limit cesarean sections to only cases where it's absolutely needed. And given that one of the main contributors to our rising cesarean section rate is a repeat cesarean because you had one the first time, we need to encourage more women to try for a vaginal birth even if they had a cesarean section the first time round.
And this is where your study, vaginal birth after cesarean section, comes in. So you've looked at how midwives and obstetricians view VBAC.
Yes.
Was there a difference between the two groups?
Generally, both of the groups said that they were very supportive of women choosing a vaginal birth after cesarean section. Largely, this was in the light of current policies, particularly the New South Wales Health Towards Normal Birth policy, which has given a lot of support to the idea that attempting a vaginal birth after a cesarean is an important choice that women can make, and they can make it safely. Whilst the risk of a problem with the previous uterine scar is there, it is a very, very small risk that so anything might happen.
What's the uterine scar?
Okay. When you have a cesarean section, obviously, the abdomen is cut on the outside, but then the uterus is cut on the inside of the woman's body in order to get the baby out. After the operation, the uterus is stitched together again, and then the abdomen is stitched together. The big fear has been that in a subsequent pregnancy, labour and birth, that scar on the uterus stretches because the uterus has stretched with the large baby inside of it. But also the very act of the uterus contracting during labour might make that scar stretch further. And in a very, very, very small number of cases, that scar can start to actually separate. If it separates to a large degree before the baby's actually born, the baby might be born into the mother's abdomen. This is called a uterine dehiscence or rupture.
That's pretty gory.
It's not that gory, but it's of great risk to the baby because the baby can't really survive outside of the uterus inside the mother's abdomen for any length of time. So you'd have to have an emergency cesarean section in that case, or an emergency abdominal procedure to rescue the baby.
But you say that's very rare.
Well, the rate of uterine scar dehiscence, which is potentially a small or a large separation of that scar, is around 2 per 1,000 women. So it's pretty unusual for it to occur. So it depends on your perspective. From a science perspective, that rate is about the same that you would find in women having their first baby.
Right. So in a otherwise normal pregnancy,
uterus
can rupture.
Yeah.
And are these the sort of conversations that midwives and obstetricians are having with women who are having a second baby after a cesarean section?
Absolutely. It's very important to give very accurate information to the women about not only the potential benefits of vaginal birth, but also the potential risks of attempting a vaginal birth after a cesarean section so that they can weigh up the risks and benefits for themselves. We need to do it in a way that the language is not fear-inducing. So we actually try to not use words like rupture,
which sounds pretty gory,
certainly. I'm glad that's your word, not mine. We try not to use language like that, but just to try to explain what a scar dehiscence means. And it can be relatively minor. So we use, hopefully, fairly neutral language, but accurately describe what the potential risks are, but also what the potential benefits of a vaginal birth are. And many women who've had a cesarean say, you know, I'd really like to be able to have an experience like my friends, where they're up and about the next day and they're feeding the baby and carrying on as normal, whereas I was really quite disabled for some time after my cesarean.
Because you can't even drive after a cesarean.
Yeah, and you're usually advised not to drive for at least 6 weeks. I don't know many women who obey that, but that's what women are told.
Yeah. And the midwives and obstetricians in your study, were they confident in giving women the option of a vaginal birth?
Yes, they were. Certainly the ones that participated in our research. Of course, you always have to consider that they might have just been telling you what they thought you wanted to hear. But we talked for quite a while. And generally speaking, it seemed like they were very comfortable with the idea that it was quite acceptable for women to choose a vaginal birth after a previous cesarean section, and very happy to support women doing that.
And for women who do decide to have that vaginal birth after cesarean section, how many of them are actually successful?
Well, some studies vary, but the rates generally around about 70% are going to be successful if you have a go at a vaginal birth next time.
One of the things that jumped out for me was a comment from a midwife about her saying to one of her patients, you have to own the decision that you make.
Yeah.
What happens in those 40, 42 weeks that can often change a woman's decision?
Yeah. Of course, she's going to meet people who may not be as positively predisposed towards attempting a vaginal birth after a previous cesarean section. So she will maybe find a friend who's had a cesarean or attempted a vaginal birth next time that wasn't successful. So she'll get negative feedback. Or I think women, when they discuss these kinds of numbers with their friends, if they're aware of them, for some people, a rate of around 2 per thousand would be incredibly low, but therefore there are other people for whom this kind of a risk sounds incredibly high. And so you either sit on it's low from my perspective or it's high. So you have to make up your own mind about what kind of a risk you're willing to take. Quite often it's their partners who don't want to see them going through another labour and experiencing the disappointment of a cesarean section at the end of a labour that doesn't progress the way that it needs to. So they're going to meet potentially lots of negative comments during the course of their pregnancy. So if they are keen to choose attempt a vaginal birth after cesarean section, it's great to be able to say, yep, that's what I'm doing and I'm committed to. That's my course of action. Of course, it's always possible and reasonable to at the last minute say, no, I've changed my mind. I don't want to do this. I'll have a cesarean. And we respect women's choices no matter where in the course of their pregnancy they're making that decision.